to the forehand side. She picks on it, goes deep with the return on the forehand side. Here's the forehand to finish it, but she stays in the point. Wozniacki by picking up the backhand. Can she pick up that? No! The defending champion is out!
Hello and welcome to the AO Show. I'm James Parkinson. Day 5 of the Australian Open and a little cooler here in Melbourne, but the rain delays have still played their part. On the show today, we meet the Oz Open ball kids.
We like to do a lot of stretch all our muscles so we're not sore on the court, and do a couple practice rolls, servicing, just get ready on court.
And the young Aussie flying under the radar at the AO.
Is the pop going to stick?
Yeah, I like that. I like that nickname, the pop. It's really good.
But first up, it was a day of twists and turns at Melbourne Park. Defending champion Caroline Wozniacki was knocked out by Maria Sharapova. I spoke to commentator Brian Clark for his thoughts on the upset. Brian, Caroline Wozniacki knocked out today by Sharapova, defending champion, obviously, here at the Australian Open. First initial thoughts?
The initial thoughts are that last year when she won this tournament, Wozniacki won one of the all-time classics in that final against Halep, and there it was a match of ups and downs, peaks and valleys, whatever you want to take out of it. Today, too many valleys went against Wozniacki, and just some of those leads she lost when she was up 4-1 in the opening set, won the set, but had to... You know, it slipped away from her. But then in the second set, she was up 3-love. So you're thinking, okay, she's going to cruise here. And then for Sharapova just to storm back, she's, you know, just such a fighter, Sharapova. You remember her from coming up as somebody with so much natural talent, but you've never questioned her heart and her desire. And you saw that on display today. So the initial thoughts are it was a fantastic match. And it's a disappointing result for Wozniacki and just a very impressive, one of the most impressive wins for Sharapova since her return.
For Wozniacki, how does that kind of set up her year? It's not a great way to start, you know, going down in the first Grand Slam of the year, you know, in round 3.
Yeah, well, it's going to hurt because you lose all the 2,000 points she had to defend here. Those now fall off. So how does that set up her year? I mean, I don't think it has a huge impact. I think you wonder about her physically after the osteoarthritis diagnosis in the offseason. The, you know, for tennis, relatively advanced age, she's going to be 29. So you think about those factors as she makes her schedule, but I don't think losing here, yeah, it's not what she wants, the defending champion losing in the third round, but I think it's part and parcel of playing a professional sport.
And for Sharapova, I mean, this is kind of a bit of a comeback for her, you know, a bit of a blast from the past. How do you see her approach, you know, moving on into the tournament? Can she, you know, pull a few more surprises?
Yeah, and you get to a point where you start to wonder, are they still surprises with the way she's played? She's certainly capable of winning this tournament. She's done it before. The next match, though, such a contrast of styles when she plays Ash Barty. She won't have the crowd behind her, most of the crowd behind her. That'll be a very good one. And just in terms of styles, Wozniacki maybe the best defender in the women's game. Barty, a fantastic defender, but in a different way, with the way she can slice and carve it. And it's just so comfortable at net. And that is where I think that match will be decided, just how comfortable is Sharapova. She's not going to play at net like Barty can, but can she win those points when she needs to?
Brian, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Let's hear now from Wozniacki and what went wrong for her today.
You know, I did my best out there. I was fighting till the end. You know, in my head, I should have won that first set. You know, being up 4-1, I had a chance to do that, but I didn't. And then I fought back and won the second set. And then, you know, it was a close third set. It just wasn't enough today. I did my best. I did all I could. And just came up short. And that's sports sometimes.
Elsewhere today, Ash Barty is through to the fourth round, the furthest she's progressed at the Australian Open to date, and she will face Maria Sharapova next. Tim Solly has more with Fox Sports' Sarah Ollie.
Sarah, obviously a huge day for Australian women's tennis. Ash Barty getting through to the fourth round. What's your reaction?
The Barty party continues. It was such a clinical performance from Ash, and we saw in that second set after she had her hip flexor worked on, she was fine. She came out and absolutely smashed it. It was really impressive. And for the first time, she gets through to the fourth round at the Oz Open, which is so good for Ash and so good for Australian tennis.
Obviously had a huge 2018, moved her way up to 15 ranked in the world coming into this tournament. She just looks like such a more improved player. What things are strong for her on court right now?
I think she's covering the court really well. There are a few rallies we saw her just get these balls back, which probably previously, even last year, we weren't seeing that happening. She looks really fit, but she looks really content with her game, and she's ready to back herself in, which is, I think, is why we're seeing her go to the next level.
Is she a real contender this year? Or are we just getting carried away with it as Aussies? Is this Aussie hype, or does she actually have the armoury now to go all the way?
I think she does, and I think some experts are saying that she does. She's got one of the best, if not the best, slice backhand, and we've seen that be so powerful for her already. We'll just have to see which seeds fall around her, because sometimes it's not perhaps what you're doing but what the other players around you are doing. But if she can get into that second week, there's no reason that Ash can't be relevant and go deep.
Barty has certainly made some incredible progress, and she was her usual positive self following this win.
You have to keep giving yourself the opportunity to do better and better, and I mean, just keep chipping away. It's all trusting in the process and the work that my team and myself has done in the preseason and throughout the last 18 months, 2 years. We're continuing to chip away every single day and get better as a person and as a player every single day, and continue to develop my game. And I think it's getting to the point now where I'm feeling more and more comfortable on the court and can play my brand of tennis, which when I execute, I know it works against the best in the world.
Also on day 5, we saw 11th seed Aryna Sabalenka defeated by the young American Amanda Anisimova. Despite being tipped by many as a favourite for the title, it wasn't Sabalenka's day. Once again, it's Tim Solly with Sarah Olley.
Let's talk about the 11th seed Sabalenka. Got knocked out today. She was obviously a crowd favourite. She was on the rise, a big tip to go deep this year, and she's out of the Australian Open.
I think she moved the most ranking points, or the second most ranking points of any female player last year, so that kind of shows how much on the rise she was or is. But she was beaten by a 17-year-old American, and this is a girl who was born in 2000, so I'm not sure about you, but that makes me feel pretty old. And I think she's the first person born in 2000 to make it through to the fourth round here, which is pretty amazing. She's just a baby, this girl, but she was hitting Sabalenka off the court, and she's a very big, powerful hitter. So it's pretty exciting to see what this young girl will do.
The AO radio team also weighing in on Sabalenka today on The Twilight Show. Bridget DeClos and Richard Evans were joined by Ravi Uber.
There may have been the element of surprise in this match. Even though she would have heard of the name of Anisimova, she would have known about the dangers she would possess. But, you know, she wasn't an established force on the tour. So maybe when she was confronting her and her game, she was taken a little aback and just couldn't make the adjustment to turn the match around. Sabalenka in particular, having had the chance to chat to her, very level-headed. Very, very grounded. Her coach is the same way, Dmitry Tursunov, who is a former men's player. He's saying, I think, all the right things for a young player. You know what? I'm not putting pressure on her. We're not counting Grand Slam titles. Mm. We just want to make those day-to-day improvements. And I think if that sense of serenity, that sense of calm is being talked about by the coach, it really translates to the player. So I think she's going to bounce back and recover very nicely. Had this been another player, for example, who you could tell really crumbled by playing on the big stage and the pressure got to her, it would be a different story. But yeah. I just think she was outmatched today by Anisimova.
I think it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, possibly, because she could have breezed through to the semifinals, maybe even got to the final, maybe even did something like Anna Ivanovic when she won the French Open before she knew what she was doing. And then, as we're talking about this, those young players, particularly women players, who did something extraordinary very early, they couldn't handle it. Mm. They couldn't handle everything that goes with being a superstar overnight.
Well, it's been a strong tournament for the Australians so far, and one of those names that's going a little unnoticed amongst the excitement around the likes of Demonor and Barty is a young 19-year-old by the name of Alexei Poprin, who has progressed to the third round.
Alexei, thoughts and feelings after last night's match. How are you feeling this morning?
The match yesterday kind of sunk in, the result sunk in a little bit, and I'm just really focused on the next round, to be honest.
Been a junior champion, you've won Grand Slams as a junior. All of a sudden overnight, you've gone from a relatively unknown to someone that's really contending. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. You know, I got the taste of winning a slam, a junior slam, which is not the result that, you know, you strive for. You want to win the real deal. And, you know, winning my first two matches is really amazing.
What are your dreams and hopes for this tournament and for the rest of the year?
Well, for this tournament, I'm just going to take it one match at a time. You know, I've been doing that and it's been working pretty well for me, so I'm going to keep doing that. And for the rest of the year, hopefully I can break the top 100 sometime soon. And then we'll just keep going from there. I'll set another goal once I do that.
What are the strengths in your game at the moment you feel like you're on top of, and what are the things you're going to work on?
I feel like my serve's really working right now. The stats show. My forehand, I feel like my forehand's always been my best shot, and it's always been my weapon, and my movement also, which is up there, because I'm a big guy and I move pretty relatively well for a big guy, so yeah.
How have the Aussie fans been this tournament for you so far?
Crowds were amazing. The first two matches were unreal. Like, I didn't expect that at all. But yeah, they've been great, and they really gave me that extra energy to go out there and win those matches.
A lot of talk's been about Alex Duminois. He's 19, like yourself. Has it been nice to be kind of under the radar here, but still ticking along nicely and through to the next round?
Well, yeah, it's given me, you know, over the last year, it's given me time to work on my game to without all that other distraction. But yeah, now coming into the third round, you know, it's great, yeah.
Mate, this is the first time I've met you, and I noticed a few of the fans, they're starting to call you the Pop. Is that something that we're going to see a bit more in the years? Is the Pop going to stick?
Yeah, I like that. I like that nickname, the Pop. It's really good.
Mate, all the best. We're all behind you, and let's hope you go deep in the tournament.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Alexi Popperin got through to the next round. Have you guys heard of Alexi?
No.
No, I have not.
No, I haven't.
But we're Europeans, so I think we're going to be rooting for Sasha Zverev.
I'll make sure I cut that out of the audio. He's an Aussie. He's 19 years old, same as Duminois. He won the French Open Grand Slam as a junior. He's just got through to the next round. He's one of the only Aussies left. How do you feel about that?
He's a little dark horse just coming through. Pretty impressive.
That's amazing. It's awesome.
Any advice for the Pop going into the next round?
Relax and enjoy the moment.
Just to keep it calm and steady, not get too agitated.
Have confidence.
Play hard. Do your best. We're behind you.
Go the Pop.
Go the Pop.
Go the Pop.
Go the Pop.
Finally today, being a ball kid at the Australian Open is a dream for many young tennis fans, but not everyone gets that opportunity. Tim Solly spoke to two ball kids to find out more.
My name's Ella and I'm an Australian Open ball kid.
My name's Sam and I'm an Australian Open ball kid.
Guys, how long have you been doing this for?
It's my fourth year.
And this is my first year.
Ooh, so what's it like being an experienced ball kid and having the new ball kids around you? Do you give them some guidance and some advice?
Yeah, it's good because you can give them more knowledge about what to expect and you can pass on experience.
Yeah, it definitely helps when you're on court with someone who's done it for multiple years because they really help you out, yeah.
What's it like being here first year? A bit nervous, a bit excited?
Yeah. But now I've been here for like maybe a week or so, I'm getting used to it and yeah, it's good.
Guys, tell me what the process is becoming a ball kid. How do you become a ball kid at the Australian Open?
Yeah, so you got your local club trials, and then from there you go into the National Tennis Centre, and then from there you do training sessions for about 3 months, once a month, and then from there you get selected.
So what are these training sessions like to be selected?
Well, they're very competitive. There's a lot of people that try out, and they just test all your skills, and then, yeah, like best skills, you move on.
So tell me about the process of being here at the Australian Open. What does a day look like for you guys? You get here in the morning and what happens?
You should get here in about half an hour before your shift, and it's normally an hour on, an hour off, and you normally relax in those breaks, or you eat, get some fuel, and yeah, a lot of fun.
Tell me about, warming up, getting prepared. What are some special things you ball kids do just to get in the zone and get ready for a big match?
Yeah, we like to do a lot of stretches, stretch all our muscles so we're not sore on the court, and do a couple practice rolls, servicing, just get ready on court, really.
Any special techniques for you in getting warmed up for a match?
No, that's about it.
What is the perfect roll? You know, we see out there on court, rolling those shoulders, delivering those balls at extreme precision. Explain the perfect roll for me.
Well, you really want it to be fast, flat and accurate. And if you've got those three keys, well, it's a perfect roll.
Are there any injuries here? Are there any of the ball kids throwing their arms out and getting a bit injured sometimes?
There might be, but I don't know of any, no.
I've heard a word on the street that there's a lot of zooper-doopers and, frozen Cokes going around. A lot of kids here hyped up on the sugar before they go out in court, or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of sugar going around, making sure your sugar levels are high so you're good on court.
What is the perfect pre-match meal before you go on?
Probably something that will keep you going for the hour and maybe a bit of sugar as well, yeah.
Tell me about those little rubber mats that you guys have. You squat down. Are they comfy?
No, they get really hot. Like on a hot day, they burn your fingers. Yeah.
Tell me about the heat. It's been really hot here the first week of the Australian Open. A lot of humidity. How are the ball kids coping and what are they doing to beat the heat?
Yeah, we like to stay in the shade, make sure we're not doing much on our shifts off. But yeah, you really want to keep drinking and just making sure you're eating the right stuff.
What's it like to be so close to some of the best champions that we've ever seen in the game?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, you're just right there and get to be on court with them. It's really good, yeah.
Especially when you've got an Aussie on your court, the crowd's up and about. It's just a great experience to ever have.
I'll tell you what, all this talk of physios, super dupers, I might have to sign up for Ball Kids next year. Thanks very much for chatting, guys.
No worries.
Thank you.
And day 5 is in the books. Thanks to you for listening. Be sure to tell your tennis-loving friends about the show as well, and I'll see you tomorrow for day 6.